And Josephus records and Jewish writings tells us that in the end they gather about 400 odd young virgins. So all the most beautiful ladies were selected. Young virgins. That's why I say he was quite a horrible king. Most of you wouldn't like him. Can you imagine some of you say, oh, I like to be Esther. Think again. You have to have the call of God on your life. And here was the king. And so in the end, they selected all these beautiful young ladies. And all for that short fuse king. And it was not easy to meet that short fuse king. Before the virgins can meet the king one by one. You don't expect all 400 to go there. Each virgin has to be almost soaked for 6 months in perfume of myrrh. I tell you, man, if your bride is soaked for 6 months in some sort of perfume, the rest of your life will be fragrant. And after 6 months of soaking in the perfume of myrrh, they soak another 6 months in some other perfumes. So after 12 months of perfume treatment, they finally march one by one to the king. And the king slept with them, slept with a different one each night. Terrible, isn't he? Terrible fella. No wonder the two eunuchs plotted to kill him. Now all these are facts here. In case some of you think I'm making all this up. It's in chapter 2. Verse 12. Chapter 2 verse 12. Each young woman's turn came to go to King Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months preparation. According to the regulations for the women, for thus were the days of their preparations apportioned. 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with perfume, and preparations for beautifying women. Man, are you glad you don't have to pay 12 months perfume before you marry? But here, can you imagine even one of those ladies coming? Oh, you could smell them a mile off. No perfume can beat that. And what a king. Until finally, that was Esther was among those chosen. Esther was among those chosen. And Esther found favor and grace, first with the eunuch, then with the king. In verse 9, her other Hebrew name was Hadassah. Now the young woman pleased him, and she obtained his favor, so he readily gave beauty preparations to her, besides her allowance. So he found favor, and when he found favor, the eunuch gives special allowances and special beauty preparation that the rest didn't have. I'm not expert at all the perfume, but let me give you an example. It would be like all the 399 use Max Factor and use all Revlon and whatever name you got. And then there was this one special one, because the eunuch was an expert at the king. He has been keeping all the concubines all the time. So he found favor with Esther and says, Esther, here's this special one. Poison. And so when Esther put that special one, even with all the women smelling so fragrant that the king couldn't tell the difference. When Esther came to the king smelled different. This is extraordinary perfume. What perfume you use, Esther? Poison. Right. Now, this all speak about the church of Jesus Christ. Number one, Esther was an orphan. Esther had lost her father and her mother. She was brought up by her uncle Mordecai. She was an orphan. It was like the church, outside, rejected. Once no people, now a people. Once without a covenant, now in the covenant. That was Esther. The verse for that is in chapter 2. And verse 7, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And yet she had that beauty because the bride of Jesus Christ is to be beautiful. It is not your physical body Jesus looks for. It is not just your soul, although your soul is to be saved and renewed. But that newborn spirit in you is the most beautiful creation that Jesus has ever made. All of us were made in the image of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing, imagine, in the Bible, there is nothing more beautiful than the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the song sings about Him. He's the fairest of 10,000. The bright and morning star. The lily of the valley. He's the one who sticks us closer than a brother. He's the most beautiful of all of every heavenly object. He was the only begotten Son of the Father. And when we were born again, that beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ came into our life and we were made anew in our spirit. That's the new spirit inside us. It's Esther coming and being received. Then she being given all these beauty treatments for 12 months. And then, besides that, she has this special one. Tells you about how the Lord Jesus Christ gave all kinds of gifts to us. All kinds of preparation, all sorts of gifts. The 9 gifts of the Spirit, 5-fold ministries, 9 ministries of believers. All these things in order to perfume the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And giving us His Word, His doctrine, His teaching, and everything to establish us. And all the gifts that God has given to the church, do you know that it all comes through that one person of the Holy Spirit? He is called in the book of Ephesians the earnest of our inheritance. You could say that He's in a sense like an engagement ring. But God didn't just give a thing, He gave a person. To lead us, to keep us, to sanctify us, to prepare us, to perfume us. Until we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And on top of that, Esther had that special extra preparation. That extra preparation to meet the king. She found favor with the king in chapter 2. We see in verse 16, so Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And as usual, when the king was happy, he called a feast. Makan again. In verse 18, lie, chia, chia. Right. Every time he's happy. The king made a feast, and he called it a feast of Esther. He proclaimed a holiday in the provinces, gave gifts according to the generosity of the king. And so we have Esther being established. It was like the church coming into covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the tremendous story. Between the time that the church comes in that covenant relationship, the revival in the book of Acts, it looks like, in spite of all the revival we have throughout the book of throughout church history, we see the main revival in the book of Acts chapter 2. Then it reaches its peak in about 400 years, the first 400 years of AD. And then it began to decline, and it went into the dark ages. And it was only in the last few hundred years that Christianity arose again, that the flame of Christianity arose again in its light and based on the Bible. And it seems that the last manifestation of the church before the rapture will be the greatest. So there are two primary periods if you want to talk about the church: the beginning and the end. All the in-between, you're going to see here, takes a lot of fasting. All the in-between takes a lot of groaning and preparation for the wedding day of the Lord Jesus Christ and the church of His. Mordecai represents the Holy Spirit. For all the time, he was the one who is giving the instruction to Esther. And Esther was always following Mordecai's instruction. In chapter 2, looking over here at verse 10, Esther had not revealed her people or kindred, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal. See, Mordecai was like the guardian over Esther. And even though Esther was taken into the court, Mordecai was so concerned for Esther that Mordecai himself went in and wait around those regions constantly. Verse 11. Every day, not just once a week, he loved Esther a lot, took care of her. And every day, Mordecai, chapter 2, verse 11, Mordecai paced in front of the court of the women's quarters. There he is, like the Holy Spirit. Esther has gone in to the quarters. Mordecai would be walking up and down. Oh, he's watching over Esther. I mean, this is his little Esther, the niece. So he's pacing up and down. And he's saying, how is Esther? Is she alright? Is she alright? You better make sure she's alright, alright? And he'd be walking up and down. He's like the Holy Spirit, our comforter. The one who is called to be alongside us, who walks with us, who talks with us. He is Jesus manifested through us in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are two separate persons. But Jesus now communicates to our lives through the Holy Spirit. And you could put all those verses in. How the Holy Spirit has come to teach us all things, to teach us things to come, to teach us what to do. He is called to be with us. And He teaches all the way, pacing with us. Wherever we go, He keeps pace with us, instructing us. That's Mordecai. And a short little incident that was very important later in verse 19 is how Mordecai sat within the king's gate. And now Esther had not yet revealed her kindred and her people, just as Mordecai had charged her. See, Mordecai was the one who command, and Esther did the obeying. Even though Esther was the queen. You could see that there is a realm of authority that Mordecai functioned in its picture form of the Holy Spirit. Even though you and I have the rightful physical authority on this earth because we are born in the flesh, yet the Holy Spirit comes through our life, and it is through our life that He controls all circumstances. The Holy Spirit will not directly interfere. He only interferes as prayers are made unto God. And also the Holy Spirit works through your hands, works through your legs, works through your eyes, works through your mouth, works through your thoughts. The Holy Spirit flows through us. The world cannot see the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in the Gospel of John that the world cannot see the Holy Spirit, nor does the world know Him. The only way that the world know and see the Holy Spirit is when they see the Holy Spirit working in your life.